fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday, the 29th day of July, year of our Lord, 2022. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Yes, we do begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The proper tip of the day is to work with your team, recreate with your team, and most important of all, pray with your team. Do you have a team? That's, of course, a more foundational question. Your team should be men and women that you know and trust, that you would trust your life with, people you've known a long time, several years or more is preferable. And how many people should be on your team? Well, if there's a long-term crisis, there's a very important number to remember. And Tom Burial should be calling at any moment. We'll bring Tom on board and talk about emergency communications once he does. Here's that number, 168. Now you may be scratching your head. What in the world are you talking about, John? 168, what is that? That's how many hours there are in a week. That's how many hours a responsible adult on your team needs to be awake, alert, all week, every week. 168 hours. Obviously, one or two people can't do that. 4 people, it would be burdensome. Once you get up to 6, it's still a burden. Once you get up to 12, you can split up that night shift between enough people, between 12 people, that you can still have a pretty normal life. As the old saying goes, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. When I first got to Vietnam, my outfit didn't have enough low-ranking enlisted men to have the guard shift split up more than every other night. So for the first couple of months, I had guard duty every other night, which was 2 hours on and 4 hours off. Our shift, we had 3 shifts from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Being a healthy 20-year-old helped a lot. It really helped a lot. I believe that's probably when I started drinking coffee also. I didn't smoke cigarettes, thank goodness. But even a healthy 20-year-old with that shift is gonna take a toll on you. Of course it will. So if you don't have a team of 10 or 12 responsible adults, you need to be working to put one together, because that number, 168, cannot change. It's not going to go away. It's not, and it won't. So that's your prepper tip today. We may talk more about that with Tom Berryhill. The information about COVID-19 and the clot shots continues to come in. I watched a very tragic video this morning. A 14-year-old young lady was talking about how happy her parents were to find out that the COVID clot shot had been authorized for teenagers. This young woman had had serious health issues all her life, a cancer that involved that caused her spine to be malformed, which impacted her lungs and caused her lungs to not be properly the proper size. And she made this video, and she posted on her YouTube channel talking about the progress she was making, and she had just gotten the COVID vaccination. Less than 2 weeks later, she was dead. How tragic. How absolutely tragic. But we're seeing that tens of thousands of times all over the United States, and more than a million times around the world is what we're seeing. The worst crime in recorded human history. That's what's taking place right now at your local CVS, at your local Walgreens, at your local health department, your local doctor's office, who are administering these COVID vaccination clot shots. That's what's taking place. The worst crime in recorded human history. We have patient Wayne Green with my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom began a quest more than half a century ago to become expert and quite proficient in anything and everything to do with emergency survival communications, ham radio, and electronics in general. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning.
Well, sir, I started the show with the following as a prepper tip today: to work with your team, recreate with your team, and pray with your team. And I went on to talk about the number 168. You know what that means, Tom, don't you?
No, I don't.
That's how many hours there are in a week. And during a long-term crisis, Tom, your team, an adult member of your team, of Tom Berryhill's team, will have to be awake 168 hours a week, week after week, month after month. Is your team ready to do that, Tom?
No. Not yet.
Why are you laughing?
Well, I shouldn't be laughing, but some of the people, they'd fall asleep on the job.
Well, human beings can't live without sleep. In fact, one of the worst punishments you can do as far as punishment and torture is just keeping somebody awake. And it will eventually kill you, by the way. So, Tom Berryhill, your team doesn't have the capability of an adult being awake 168 hours a week, sir?
Well, I've never really tried having a group stay awake, any one person stay awake that long. I guess we'll have to try it out.
No,
I don't
sir.
Know. I think we just have to fend for ourselves and do the best we can.
There's no experimentation. We already know. It's been known for centuries that a human being can't live without proper sleep. There's no experimentation here. It's not optional. It is not optional. And before you came on board with us, I mentioned how when I first got to Vietnam, my unit did not have enough men for guard duty, which meant I had to pull guard duty every other night for several months. 2 hours on, four hours off every night for months. As a healthy 20-year-old, I could pretty well tolerate it, but I was it had only been a year and a half since I was a successful competitor in the state track meet in Missouri, at Columbia, Missouri. So I was a very healthy young man. But even a healthy young man is going to be affected by trying to stay awake 168 hours a week. It can't happen. I did stay awake 24 hours a day for nearly 4 days during a Tet offensive. And by the start of the third day, I was seeing things move that weren't moving. and hearing things that weren't really there. That's the effects of lack of sleep. So Tom Berryhill, my advice to you, my friend of more than a quarter century, is to work with your team, Tom, to put together a team of at least 12 responsible adults so that 168 hours can be split up between 12 adults and that overnight shift can be covered and cause no harm. That's my advice to you, sir, one-to-one.
Well, we'll give it a try and see what happens.
Okay.
Just have to try and see. I don't know.
Okay. Well, Tom, moving on from there, we've mentioned before that the government of Ukraine has outlawed the use of ham radio, although we still have ham radio operators apparently still broadcasting. I don't know what they're broadcasting, but hopefully it's nothing that will help the Russians. And we have more interest in ham radio since these various crises have been going on nationwide and worldwide. I'm getting in private emails, Tom, people suggesting that I be prepared to transmit this show on shortwave, which I could do that. I have everything in-house to do that. It would take probably one or two work days between myself and a couple of my technician friends to get set up to do it with all the equipment, the coax, the microphones, the power supplies. But I could start broadcasting on a shortwave in probably 48 hours or less if I needed to. Hopefully that won't be the case. But we talk about ham radio, and we do have a favorite website, sir, and that would be the ARRL website. ARRL.org website, wouldn't it, sir?
Yeah, that's a good starting point. And John is set up for broadcasting on shortwave. If you just want to get on the air and do it, that's a big job, and it takes a lot of power to get a decent signal out there and a huge antenna. I don't know if you could do it in 48 hours unless you've set something up previously and have the antennas built and all that. That's a lot. That's a
right. Great. Well, we've got a
huge undertaking.
We've got the power, we got the equipment, we got the talent. It may not be 48 hours, and we may start out with less than optimal broadcasting in 48 hours. But the men that I work with are all ham radio, licensed ham radio operators, and have the skills necessary and the equipment and the tools. So 48 hours may be optimistic. We have a Harris transceiver, the exact same equipment used by the CIA for remote locations around the world. I was talking to an Air Force technician. He helped set up the equipment. He may be listening right now Diego Garcia for the Air Force. And he doesn't like the Harris transceivers because they're so smart, they make his job almost obsolete because the Harris transceiver will tell you what needs to be fixed. It's pretty sophisticated, isn't it?
Yes, they call it BITE, B-I-T-E. It's built-in test equipment. And some of the equipment I have has that in it. Some of the higher-end stuff will have that, and it will give you an indication what's wrong. And then there's modules that you can unplug and swap out, and sometimes you can actually repair them down to the component level, but usually it's just modules. The Harris equipment is very reliable. They were a customer of mine, John, and they're in Rochester, New York. And I was at a auction. It was actually in a Kodak building. A printed circuit plant had leased one of the Kodak buildings in Rochester, and they went out of business. And I flew up there with a friend of mine, and we looked at some of the equipment. I bought a couple of pieces of machinery, and then I worked with a machinery rigger and shipping, and had the stuff loaded and flew back. But in the meantime, I had to wait for these guys to get there, so I took the rental car we had, and I remembered seeing RF Harris right on the road that we were quite near their place. I just drove in there and asked to see one of the engineering people, and I didn't want to go through a buyer. Never went through purchasing agents or buyers. Try to get to the engineer and find out if they were a ham operator. And that's exactly what the case was. I started talking to a guy, told him why I was there. He says, so you actually make the circuit board? I said, yes, sir. We're near St. Louis. And I struck up a friendship, and then we started doing some smaller volume stuff, nothing big, but we did supply them because it just so happened that some of the boards they were getting was from that failed circuit board plant. So it worked out perfectly. But boy, they had some equipment there. They had some test equipment and things that I would have, to this day, really liked getting my hands on and having for my own use. But R.F. Harris was a, you know, they're still a military contractor. They make some of the portable units that are used out in the field with all the digital modes and frequency hopping and just everything you can think of for worldwide communications on shortwave. That's a world-class company. That's a first-class operation up there.
Absolutely. Well, the way my team acquires much of this high-end equipment is through auctions. Typical auction attendee seeing a piece of equipment like this wouldn't have a clue what it was, what it was used for, the value of it, or anything else. So typically this kind of equipment goes for 5 cents on the dollar of its true value. As a consequence, my team has, I'd say, between 200 and 300 radios easily, a lot of handy talkies, ranging from the Motorola units that were issued to police back in the 70s that you could drive a 16-penny nail with and not cause any great harm to it, because they're so rugged with a tough aluminum case. We have another transceiver that came from an unnamed federal agency in perfect working condition. I won't describe that. Another friend of mine, a ham radio operator, he got a box full of Secret Service radios from the White House that still were programmed for all the White House frequencies. How about that?
Yeah, that's amazing. Hey, you know what? R.F. Harris made a transmitter. It may have had a matching receiver. I don't remember it. They did make a transmitter, and I cannot remember the military designation for that, but it only takes 0.1 watt to drive it, and it'll operate from the top of the AM broadcast band of 30 megahertz. Anywhere in that frequency range, it's fully synthesized if you buy their, what they call the exciter. But otherwise, you can provide it with your own signal. So if you had a signal generator that could develop the type of modulation scheme you wanted to use, this thing would amplify that 0.1 watt signal, and you'd have a pretty nice high-powered transmitter. It was 1 kilowatt. So, but it's 6 feet tall, just to get 1 kilowatt. So for shortwave broadcasting, 1 kilowatt is not very much. It's going to take a lot. You can set up a small system and have some regional coverage, but to have national coverage takes a big signal. Most of the shortwave broadcasters are at least, they're. I think the minimum was 100,000 watts effective radiated power. So that's a big system. If you want a licensed system, there's a lot of bootleggers on there. They use ham equipment and stuff, and I've heard them before, right below the 40-meter band, around 6.9 megahertz. You can hear them, but a lot of them were on single sideband. And actually, John, the best way to conserve energy, if you wanted to set up a broadcast system, would be to use single sideband. I wouldn't use AM, because any of those single sideband transceivers that operate at the 100-watt level, or even higher power, it doesn't matter. If you turn that into an AM system, you can only run about 25% of the rated power. You need to have that because of the voice peaks. The AM signal will be about four times that. So you want to run them at 1/4 the power. So if you have a 1,000-watt system, you really need to turn it down to about 250 watts if you're going to run AM. So the single side, why I always recommend anybody buying a shortwave receiver, get one that's capable of single sideband reception, because you can even tune in an AM signal with it, and it makes it easier to copy a very weak AM signal using a single sideband.
Here's our break. Call number is 512-248-8252.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
The Biden administration has set another record. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. As of 2 days ago, 609 dead bodies have been found on the U.S. side of our southern border this year. The record was previously set by the Biden administration last year. In his first year in office, 566 dead bodies were found. By comparison, before Biden in 2020, 247 bodies were found. The lackadaisical immigration policy of this administration is encouraging people to seek help from cartels and smugglers for the long and dangerous journey. Where is the disgust and outrage over all of the dead brown people? How is this not a headline from every news outlet in the nation? Kids in cages was a headline for over a year. That is nothing compared to 1,175 dead under this administration. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas.
The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape.
Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. If you want to protect your car, your spouse's car, the car that youngster or youngsters, plural, off to college, EMP Shield devices will do that. It's the exact same equipment the Department of Defense uses for their vehicles. No difference. The exact same equipment at my website, at thelibertyman.com. And I'm very gracious and thankful that all my listeners are grandfathered in for a $50 discount on each piece of equipment. I just installed another one over the weekend on a friend's vehicle. And It's the real deal. The EMP Shield device is at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, and we're trying to focus here this morning, as we usually do Friday morning, the first hour, on emergency survival communications, ham radio related topics. And Tom, once again, our favorite website is the ARRL.org. That's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima.org website. And there's it's a starting place where people can get everything they need to get started in ham radio, isn't it, sir?
Well, that's a good place to start. And they have the elementary information, you know, manuals, books, things you can buy, study guides, everything you need to learn from the ground floor, and then you can work your way up, use the online testing websites, take a simulated test, same thing you would take to get the actual license. Once you get a passing grade, you can go to your ham club that sponsors the test. All the FCC testing now is by volunteer examiners, and it's usually a ham radio club. And then you'll be able to take the test, and you'll find out if you passed right then. As soon as you turn in your test papers, they grade them.
Absolutely. Also at the ARRL.org website, you'll find a search engine to locate the nearest ham radio club or clubs, plural, to wherever you might be. Hopefully it won't be more than an hour drive away if you live west of Mississippi, especially in Wyoming or South Dakota, someplace like that. It may be quite a drive. But for most people, it's going to be a short drive, and that's where you can get access to men and women who've been involved in ham radio, typically for decades, men and women who have extensive knowledge, men and women who can help you avoid expensive mistakes. The most common mistake is that people make is their first radio purchase, isn't it, Tom?
Many times, but it's a lot easier than ever before. Most people get their start with a technician class license, and they're on VHF and UHF frequencies. Those radios are pretty much plug and play. Just buy the thing. You can buy a ready-made antenna and be on the air pretty quick. They're not too hard to set up at all. And when you advance and get into the HF frequencies, the antennas are more, while they're simple, the adjustments are more complex. The antenna design itself can be rather simple, but it does take a little bit of skill to learn how to make the adjustments and make it all work properly. And then those types of equipment are a little more expensive. But the ham clubs have a lot of members that already have experience with this, and they'd be able to help you get started.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another advantage of the ham radio clubs is high-quality, used equipment is bought and sold, traded back and forth among the members routinely. Another advantage, and where you can get a great cost savings, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, that's true, because everybody's always maybe upgrading their equipment, and they have surplus equipment, things that might only be 2 or 3 years old that they no longer need, and they would like to sell it and move on to the new equipment that they have. And that's a great way to get your hands on some decent equipment that's still operating properly sometimes in like new condition. And I've seen a lot of that equipment go for half of its original price. And the equipment's getting more expensive. It's not getting less expensive all the time with the shortage of parts to make the equipment. So this is the time to get going, and if you even think you're going to get into ham radio, buy some of the equipment right now while you still can.
Absolutely, while you can. And that's an important phrase. I hope you listened and heard that, ladies and gentlemen. While you can. Those who pay heed and take advantage, they'll get what they need. Those who don't, won't. Here's our break. Call number is 512-248-8252.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday. It is Friday, the 29th of July, the last Friday of the month, by the way. It'll be August next Monday. How about that? My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. We have things posted at my website, exclusive content found nowhere else on the Internet. That's a task in itself, believe it or not. Articles from my friend Steve O'Neill, the nuclear scientist, posted nowhere else on the Internet. The latest intelligence briefing, put together once a week by a friend of mine, a former counterintelligence agent, posted there weekly. Articles from all over the planet. Products that you can find other places, but sometimes nowhere else. The energy cleaner, I don't believe, is found anywhere else on the Internet, to my knowledge, for sale. The rocket heaters. Well, Liberator does have its own website, and I am the executive vice president of Liberator Rocket Heaters. So they can be found other places, but I do sell them at my website, and we'll be talking more about that the third hour. But getting back to energy cleaners, if you're tired of being tired because you're not sleeping well, what are you waiting for? Seriously, what are you waiting for? Not going to get better on itself, and the various chemical concoctions they sell to help you sleep are not really good long term. And if you have pain issues, especially arthritis pain, but any pain issues, what are you waiting for? Energy cleaner will help. If you're doubting Thomas, that's okay. I appreciate that. I understand it. And that's why I offer for me to you personally a 90-day money-back guarantee. Typically, people get relief for anywhere from a few minutes to 3 days. Sometimes it takes a week, but typically in 3 days or less, people start getting better sleep and getting relief from the pain. Details on the Energy Cleaner, mattress pads that go with it, the Micro Plus throws for you folks that already have an Energy Cleaner are right there at my website at thelibertyman.com. You can place your order right there using PayPal. You can send me a check or money order. My address is there also. And my toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. And we just happen to have the manufacturer Energy Cleaner with us. And Tom, you're diligently working on the next batch, aren't you, sir?
Well, yeah, they're finished. I'm just waiting for the chips. I get one or two packages a week with the chips, and then I have to go through them, sort them out. I can program all of them, but not all of them work properly. There's certain electrical characteristics that I have to test for, but I don't know until all the chips are identified properly. But there's 8 different versions of the chip that I use, and only one of those works properly in the Energy Cleaner. So I use all of them that I get. All of them will work, but only one of the 8 types will work properly in the Energy Cleaner. So I have to sort all that out. It's almost like a cat and mouse game nowadays, John. Just getting this stuff is difficult, and then sorting it out for what I have to do with them is another thing that has to be dealt with. So right. I was supposed to get a package yesterday. I didn't. It'll probably be here today, and then I can go through it. And I have a pretty good sized batch waiting just for that one part, and it's really getting hard to get these parts. But we're plugging along with it best we can.
Well, I know you are, Tom, and it's been what used to be easy and simple in terms that you would, up until a year and a half ago, you place your order and you get the chips, and life was grand, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's true. And what happened is I used up, I had a pretty good quantity of the integrated circuits, the chips on hand, and I used them all up over the years. And then I had to start replenishing, and it became very difficult. It wasn't bad until, like you say, a year and a half or so ago, and they became in very short supply. The lead times on some of these are being stretched out to 2024, and I think on some real specialized types of parts, it'll go into 2025. And if China invades Taiwan, I don't know what's going to happen. Boy, that's going to be felt in a big way in this country. I can't believe they let that industry that was designed here, invented, designed, and set up and made here in this country, can't believe it's been allowed to be all that information, the technology, the equipment, the physical plants, all of their equipment, everything shipped out of the country. That's to me, that should have been a protected industry.
Well, it's a matter of national security. Anyway, Tom, getting back to the topic of the day, ham radio, emergency survival communication. Let's talk about power supplies a little bit. Majority of equipment being sold right now for mobile use and for base stations runs on 12 volts, doesn't it?
Most of it does, yes. The bigger, a lot of the military type equipment, you've talked about some of that, most of that will run on 24 volts. And the higher power stuff, if it's solid state, will run on even higher voltages. Anywhere from 48 volts up to maybe 150 volts or so for the power amplifiers. And then, but for the most part, 12 volts is where most of the equipment runs for ham type equipment and regular mobile communications.
Well, I know when I was different installs I've done over the years, I found it more difficult. The most difficult thing about installs these days is getting through the firewall so I can get the 12-volt power supply through the firewall and into the passenger compartment where I want to set up the fuse box. I always have everything properly fused, protected by fuses, and of course all the connectors that go into the fuse box, because that going through the firewall means penetrating a piece of steel, getting the 12 gauge wires through their positive, negative, and then making a watertight seal so no water gets in, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. And there are ways to do it properly. And you have to make sure the wire doesn't get any abrasion or anything like that. You want to put a rubber grommet in there and some special caulking, something to just totally seal it. But you don't want any drilled holes or anything cutting into that wire. You mentioned 12 gauge, and that's a relatively low powered radio. These higher power radios, they're using 8, maybe 10, and sometimes 8 gauge. I've seen them as high as 6 gauge wire, just to supply enough current to run these higher power radios.
That's a heavy wire. That's a really heavy wire.
It's pretty heavy, but a lot of that equipment was trunk mounted, and it wouldn't be so bad if the wire was closer to the battery in the front of the car, but a lot of this equipment was trunk mounted, and that cable had to go all the way to the trunk of the vehicle. And so that distance, you needed a larger wire to compensate for any voltage drop because of the heavy current flow.
Well, one of the advantages of both the Ford Motor Companies, they no longer manufacture them. The Crown Vic, the Town Car, which entered production in 2011, and the Mercury equivalent, which you have that, they have built-in channels hidden underneath the where the door is closed on the door frame for those heavy cables to go through and be properly installed and be hidden. So that's a big advantage, isn't it, Tom, as far as doing the install?
Yeah, it really is. And I've seen that on other cars as well. I had an Impala that had a channel like that. There are a lot of those types of cars that are used for police cars as well, so they probably built it that way to accommodate those cables. You know, I don't know why they didn't build a channel or some sort of a raceway for the wires right down the middle of the car. That would have been the best way to do it, in my opinion. But I guess they just don't.
Well, I'm sure the engineers have a lot of meetings and discussions back and forth on the best way to accomplish that goal. It's that will be cost-effective and accomplish the goal. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about some rather specialized things here, things that you may not understand, how to install a radio properly. Now, I have two town cars. The older town car, I really did it upright. It was a power supply going all the way to the trunk where the heavy equipment is, the inverter, where I can plug in an electric drill or a TV set or a coffee maker into the inverter. And there's the equipment for the strobe lights. I got strobe lights on the four corners of the car. All that's comes out. The power comes from the front, goes to the back, and then it spreads out from there, Tom. And to do it right and do it safely, if you don't know what you're doing, you need a qualified technician. Otherwise, you could end up with a real tragedy with the power involved, up to and including a fire, couldn't you?
Oh, you can. That's very true. You want to put the fuses very close to the source, which would be the car battery. Go right to the battery. Some people like to go through the accessories, the switched voltage. I would never recommend any of that. If you need it set up that way, I'd rather put a relay in there that could be controlled by the ignition switch rather than go to that any voltage source that goes through that switch. Just use that voltage source to turn a relay on and off, but keep the main wiring going right directly to the battery and fuse both wires, the ground wire and the positive feed. The reason for that is there's been cases where grounding through the vehicle frame wasn't adequate, and some of the connections were through other equipment in the car, through that ground, and then something failed, and all of the one of the wires failed, perhaps, and all of the current flowing through the system went through a relatively small ground that may have been hooked to a radio or some other instruments in the dash, and all that current, that high level current flowing from the radio, the two-way radio equipment, actually went through that smaller ground wire and smoked it and set the car on fire. So I always like to put a fuse on the positive and the negative feeds.
Yeah, I always have a direct lead to the battery itself. That way I know I'm going to get the power that I need, and no ifs, ands, or buts. Get the best ground possible is to have it grounded right on the negative side of the battery, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, another thing is doing it that way, running a feed directly to the battery for the positive and negative, can be a lot quieter. There's a lot of radiated noise, switching noise from all the electronics that are in these modern cars. And the noisiest car I ever saw was hybrid Toyota. Can't remember the model number, but a friend of mine had one, and he put an HF ham rig in there. Now, when you're working FM radios and that, it's not as big an issue. But there's a lot of interference generated if you're using any type of AM equipment. And that would even include a CB radio. But if you're using HF systems and in some of these modern cars, the noise is so great that the radio might work really good when the car is turned off. And you're just operating off the battery, but none of the car electronics is operating. As soon as the car starts up, the noise level just saturates the receiver, and you can't hardly hear any signals at all. I've seen it that bad, and a friend of mine brought his hybrid Toyota over here, and we went through it. I took a little sniffer probe on a spectrum analyzer, and we watched it. We could see the different signals, and we traced it down to what it was, and put some filters in there. But I did notice that when we had the direct connection to the battery, the noise was a lot less. And he had wired the thing up using a chassis ground for some part of the equipment, and that was not good. And that's why I always like to go directly to the battery. What a lot of technicians don't understand is that a lead-acid car battery can also be somewhat of a capacitor, a very high-value filter capacitor. The plates in that battery can act as a capacitor and help to filter out some of the noise. And there's other types of filters. You can build your own, of course, but there's all types of filters and things you can do. If you have the right type of test equipment to watch those signals, you can use an oscilloscope that helps. But a spectrum analyzer works really good. And then you need some probes to go through there, and you can actually trace you can see the signal, the noise signal as you go along that wire, and you can see where it kind of branches off, and it's not too difficult to trace it down to a specific piece of equipment in the car that's causing that trouble. Then the thing to do is to put the filter at that piece of equipment, filter the voltage feed to that equipment to keep that noise within that piece of equipment, module or whatever it is that's causing the interference. You filter it out so it doesn't get in the rest of the car.
Tom, we got a caller and holding, Rick. Glenn in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Tom. You were talking about alternate power sources. And one thing that I made up a few years ago that has been helpful at times is got a hold of a 12-volt battery, sort of the about the size of one that would be used to start the engine of a large motorcycle, about 6.5 inches long, about 5 inches wide, and about 6 inches deep. So it's not as big as a car battery, but it's still it's still an acid-based car type battery, and I saw it got some clips for the terminals to wire on a cigarette lighter socket onto there, and then you can use a handle that goes right on the put a handle on it that the kind of grabs onto the terminals right on top, and then I could put a splitter a plug that splits the socket into two separate sockets, and then you have a two-socket 12-volt power source that provides a good bit of amperage and lasts a good long time. And I've had occasion to use it during power outages at patients' houses and stuff for 12-volt lighting sources and computers and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You know, I used to have a car that I had two batteries in to power the radio equipment. That way I could leave. It was a Motorola transceiver, and they always used a lot of current. Even on receive, they drew maybe 2 or 3 amps. I had a separate battery for that that would be switched off when the engine was not running. That battery was hooked to the radio.
Hold on,
Tom.
Hold on,
Tom.
We'll wrap this up after the break. I'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
But if we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of perverted science.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Tom, we got about 3 minutes here to wrap up your comments. Responding to Glenn here, sir.
Well, a good thing to do is have two batteries in a car if you're going to hook up communications equipment. Have the radio equipment that you communicate with connected to its own battery. It doesn't even have to be as large as an actual car battery. And then I always use the relay. In the communications business, they were called an A relay, and it it's a metal relay and a large, what's in a metal can, and then you can just hook it up. You can have the ignition circuit when the car is running. It will energize that relay and just connect it into the electrical system. Or you could use a toggle switch to turn it on and off and operate the radio from its own power source. And it's still charged from the car alternator, but when the car is turned off, it doesn't. That radio equipment will not drain the car battery. You can always still start the car.
A lot of motorhomes have a toggle switch like that. They have two batteries, an accessory battery. So that when you're stopped, you put it on the accessory battery only, and even if you kill it, you just put the switch back over when it's time to start the engine. You have the other batteries.
That's right. And you can buy those isolators like that at an RV service shop, and they're a good way to go. They're solid state. I've always used a relay, but those things work really good as well, so you can go either way. And those, some of those you can set up so they're just automatic. They automatically isolate when the engine's not running, and you don't have to even think about it. It just happens automatically.
Yeah, the more modern ones work that way, yeah. Now, I have seen marine batteries, marine deep cycle batteries, that already have a cigarette lighter-type power socket in them. But that's they're considerably more expensive. The kind of battery I was originally talking about, the motorcycle battery, you know, you have to kind of jury-rig the, you know, the wires, and maybe tape them, you know, get that thing, you know, mounted to the side of the battery somehow and use a GP $2 battery carrying handle on top. And, you know, it's exceedingly useful for like a field day or power outage or something.
Yeah, that's really a good idea, Glenn. And I think all ham radio operators should consider that when setting up equipment and vehicles. Make sure that the radio can be used without the car running, but that it will, if the battery drains down to zero or to nothing, which is not good for a lead-acid battery, by the way. You shouldn't drain them all the way. But if it gets low, you can still start the vehicle and allow that battery to get recharged.
A lead-acid battery like of that size, it weighs a better part of 20 pounds or something like that. Even if the amperage were low such that it couldn't start a motorcycle or vehicle, it's still got plenty of, you know, the voltage is still going to be in the 12 to 14 volt range. You got plenty of amperage for electronics. So
that's right. You know. That's very true.
All right. All right, guys. Have a good week.
Okay, Glenn. Thank you for the call. Tom, thank you for being with us. And as my grandson would say, get to work, Grandpa. Get to work.
Okay, I'm working, John.
Okay, I know you are, and I'll be getting energy cleaners from you soon, and we'll be getting these things shipped out. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, John.
Okay. Top of the hour break coming up. We'll have Dr. Pete Urokos with us. Stay tuned.
Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.